This week, we're hearing from candidates vying for their party's nomination for governor in the upcoming May 15th primary election. Peter Dill, a lawyer and organic farmer living in Emmett, is hoping to represent the Democratic Party as their candidate for governor this year. James Dawson spoke with the first-time political candidate. He started the interview by asking how he'll address the estimated 62,000 Idahoans who don't qualify for Medicaid or a health insurance subsidy.
I take a little different approach than other Democratic candidates, but I'm keenly interested in health care for all Idahoans. My approach for people in the gap is to solve the problem in Idaho, not seek another dependent relationship with the federal government. And this is for a number of reasons. Part of it is best care for Idaho residents. I think the primary need for people without health coverage is to obtain access to quality primary care. And there are high-quality medical health centers around the state that are already providing for people without insurance coverage. And I would like to see the state of Idaho provide for them to do further work, broader services to meet the needs of people without insurance.
So you do have a catastrophic care fund that the state does put some money into every year.
Yes.
But that's still costing Idaho taxpayers, you know, millions of dollars a year. Are you saying you would want to expand that as well?
Well, the numbers differ for different people, but it's in the $30 to $35 million range that Idaho spends for, quote, catastrophic care. I would like to look at allocating some of those dollars for preventative care, for primary care. About 80% of the health needs can be resolved with preventative or primary care. And so some of the catastrophic fund expenditures, and I would suggest a large portion of them, would not be necessary if we were providing adequate primary care.
Idaho ranks 40th in the nation for its low high school graduation rates. How exactly would you tackle that problem when Idaho is already projected to have a shortage of skilled workers over the next few years?
Well, the education challenge is a big one, and the percentages and the rankings and the numbers are in some cases confusing. Boise School District is rated among the highest in the nation, and other parts of the state don't rank as well. But the statistics can be misleading, because if you look at grade-by-grade statistics across the state, we're not doing badly, but certainly there's room to improve in various areas, and I'd like for us to do that. In the first instance, I would like to see us increase the salary for first-year teachers so that we're able to compete in the five-state marketplace for best teachers, and particularly best teachers who are able to handle linked classrooms, so electronically linked classrooms in various parts of the state.
Which there is already a version of that currently happening.
There is, but
yes.
but I think we need to expand that because it's a part of the future of learning. I would look at streamlining some of the responsibilities that schools undertake. So I think we have to look at scope. I think we have to look at focus and purpose. At the same time, let's stay within our financial bounds and rearrange the budget to meet the needs.
So is it fair to say that you would use existing money that's already being put into the education system, since it's the most expensive part of Idaho's budget, instead of putting more money towards it?
I think there is room for some ongoing increases, and I think we're set to have one this year. But as a general pattern, I think we have to live within our means. And the education budget is about 62% of the state budget, and I don't know what else we want to cut out to increase the percentage for education.
Now, you live out in Emmett, so you understand maybe this question a little bit, but
sure.
Idaho does have a rich Western heritage.
Yes.
Obviously, it's treasured in its rural areas, but we've got these expanding urban centers as well. So what would you do as governor to preserve Idaho's traditions while also embracing its identity as the fastest growing state in the country right now?
Things are changing, and they're going to change. Part of it is intelligent land planning. Part of it is care for and preservation of public lands, and some of it is sound environmental policy, so that we're taking care of the countrysides and the perimeters around our cities and towns, and not allowing risky development or risky extraction or other things that are going to damage the character and nature of Idaho.
If you were elected governor, how would you plan to represent those who might not have voted for you in the primary?
Well, I would try to represent the interests of all the people of Idaho. So I would represent them the way that I've gone about this campaign and the way that I've gone about my work life to this point. Listen to people and try to craft solutions that that draw from the experience of people with wide-ranging interests and represent them as well as we can.
That was Peter Dill, who is seeking the Democratic nomination for governor. Next, we hear from Lieutenant Governor Brad Little. He has been in Idaho politics since 1981 and was the Republican Majority Caucus leader for 6 years. The rancher from Emmett has received the endorsement of establishment Republicans, including current Governor Butch Otter. Frankie Barnhill first spoke with Little about how he would address Idaho's Medicaid gap.
The proposal that existed in the legislature this year, I think, probably would have legs under it next year, but we'll see what the initiative does.
And if you were governor, you know, you pushed that proposal very hard as lieutenant governor. What would you do differently as governor? How confident are that you could change that scenario so that the legislature indeed passes something along those lines?
Well, there's actually two groups of people. There's the people that have been left out, which is that 62,000 that you alluded to. And then there's even a bigger group of somewhere between 100 and 160,000 that have dropped their insurance, and they're doing it every day because of the cost. These are people that don't get a tax subsidy. We need to get both of them in because insurance only works and the healthcare system only works if people have coverage. That was the whole theory of the Affordable Care Act that was that in practical manner never worked. And that's why through our executive order, we're trying to pick up those people above. But the ones below will either be addressed through the initiative, or I'm confident that in the next session of the legislature as governor, because the legislature's there, but they all agree a little different on one thing or the other, and they just need to be brought together early and coalesce around a solution.
And you feel confident that you could get them to coalesce around
yes.
that? Idaho ranks 40th in the nation for its low high school graduation rates. What would you do to tackle that problem when Idaho is already projected to have a shortage of skilled workers over the next few years? I know this is an issue you talk about often.
Well, first thing, we got to get the kids reading proficiently at the end of the third grade. And I've offered a smorgasbord of different options for each school district to address that. Because if these kids aren't reading proficiently at the end of the third grade, not only is it harmful for them, but it drags down the cohort, all their classmates. And so that's my number one item.
Okay. And specifically, what would you do around that issue of proficiency or what programs would you continue and really champion, I guess?
As some of these school districts, on the first day of kindergarten, 15% of them show up, maybe thinking they might go to college. In other school districts, 80% of them think they're going to college. You can't use the same tools in one school as another. And that's why I think we need a full-day kindergarten, reading coaches, summer reading programs. In some of these districts, summer reading programs are absolutely essential because you get these kindergartens right up to where they're recognizing their letter and then they fall back in the summer. And there was another program that doesn't exist anymore that I would reapply, and that's students or parents as teachers, where you kind of have circuit riders that go around, particularly in these rural areas, and show people what they need to do about helping their kids recognize letters and numbers and shapes and colors. And so I think you offer a toolbox of resources to the local school districts and then let the professionals in the classroom pick which tool works to get those kids reading proficiently at the end of the third grade.
So Idaho has a rich Western heritage that's treasured in its rural areas, but urban centers are quickly growing. What would you do to preserve Idaho's traditions while also embracing its identity as the fastest growing state in the country?
We have to maintain the infrastructure in our rural communities, whatever the industry that's there, mines, mills, farms, food processing, as technology does away with jobs. We have to either add value to the existing commodities or bring new industry in there, diversify those communities so they're resilient because they pay for the health care. They keep the pharmacy and the bank and the schools and the police and the fire all open. So my experience in rural Idaho and spending a lot of time traveling around the state, I will always opt for diversifying the economy and trying to create critical mass, because as the urbanites from Boise go out to the rural part of Idaho, they want to make sure that there's a healthcare system there, that there's that police and fire and emergency services are funded. And we can't do that if we don't have a growing economy there.
With such a contested primary, how do you plan to represent those who might not vote for you?
My history is a pretty good indicator. As whether it was as lieutenant governor, whether it was serving in the Senate, I always had a relationship with whoever was across the aisle. I think you could poll the Idaho legislature and see how I'm viewed. One of the things I've always done as lieutenant governor that I would recommend to any person is every freshman House member or Senate member, I have them come in right after they get elected, and we have a wide open discussion for as long as they want to have it about, you know, what are their values? What do they think they're doing to represent their people? And that has always given me a good base. You know, Idaho's changing. We got a lot of communities are making a big radical change. And if you don't understand the values of those people when they show up on their first month of the Idaho legislature, then it's hard to work with them to get things done. And I think my record reflects that I've been pretty active in that area.
That was Lieutenant Governor Brad Little talking with our Frankie Barnhill. We will hear more from gubernatorial candidates tomorrow.